Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Sean Broderick. He is a newsletter writer over at Weiss Ratings. And Sean, you and I talk about a wide range of sectors. And I think that's important to take into account the big picture of what's going on in markets. Because in terms of the sectors we chat about, we do chat a lot about precious metals. But look, let's face it, precious metals, especially gold, has been one of the worst laggards, one of the worst investments over the past 7 months. When you look across the board and you see all these different sectors and even commodities, different risk on investments that have done well and actually continue to, it looks like, build some pretty bullish cases, even after some short-term drops. Let's start off with what's lagging, though, because you and I chat about gold. We also chat about uranium. Those stocks and uranium broadly just can't get any momentum to the upside. Why do you think these two sectors continue to lag?
What's hurting gold is the rise in the U.S. dollar. And the U.S. dollar is rising because the outlook for U.S. economic growth is becoming much stronger. Sure, we're going to be racking up a lot more debt. The market doesn't care about that. What it cares about is that the U.S. economy is going to outperform Europe and stuff like that. And so that makes the U.S. dollar stronger as people in, say, Europe transfer funds over here, that kind of thing. Now, so I'm not really buying gold right now. I will point out that the Hulbert Gold Newsletter Sentiment Index has plunged to 41.67%. That was on Friday. And the reason that's important, that's lower than 99.4% of all the readings since 2000. And it hasn't been this low since late 2014, and gold jumped 11.6% in the next 3 weeks. So if you're a gold bull, that's something to hang on to. However, let me present the opposite side. So many things are going up that you shouldn't just focus on gold. There are many, many things that look very bullish in an economic expansion and inflationary times, and we have both of those right now. And so those are the kinds of things you should be looking at, in my opinion.
All right, let's start with some of those sectors that you like in commodities, because we have definitely seen base metals do well. We also have seen, although let's put it in context, base metals have pulled back a little bit. Oil continues to do very well. In terms of these two sectors, where are you seeing the opportunities or more opportunities?
Right. Well, I mean, I still think industrial metals have a long way to go. They are pulling back because China started to hit the brakes on the they had some major injections of government cash into the industries over there to keep things propped up. So they're starting to ease back on that because they have their own growth going on. And so because of that, we're seeing less buying in the industrial metals. That doesn't mean it's over. I think you can use a pullback as a chance to get in. Iron is, of course, the big one for like steel and stuff, but not only that, nickel, copper, actually all the battery metals look great. And they've had a pullback too. They had a nice little pullback, which brings a lot of them down to a place where you can maybe pick them up. So I think people should look at the industrial metals, definitely. Beyond that, oil. I mean, I don't know how much higher oil is going to go. I thought $60 to $70 was the range. But there are people coming out now saying that it can go higher yet. I don't know if they're just talking their book or what, but there is that potential. And the thing is, many oil stocks can make some great money at the current price of oil. They really can. And so that hasn't been priced into their stocks yet. You know the next earnings reports are going to look great. You might want to pick those up, especially those that raise their own dividends. And also if they have it of, say, buying their own shares when they have extra cash laying around, that won't hurt either. So that's something else that you might look for as well. Beyond that, you know, I mean, there's so many things in the new economy, not only with EVs, but with automation, with so many things going on. We're just seeing expansion all over the place. And that really bodes well for all sorts of things.
When it comes to oil, then, jurisdictional wise, are you concerned about the U.S. oil patch because of what Biden's policies might be? Do you think that there's an opportunity in Canadian oil producers or anywhere else geographically?
Well, I like Canadian oil producers, and especially the pipeline companies. I seem to have less luck with them than I do with the U.S. one, so maybe I should stick to the U.S., huh? But I will say that in the downturn we had last year in the U.S., there was a massacre in the oil industry, and a lot of companies just went out of business or they merged and like stuff like that. So there's a lot fewer left standing now. And so even if there are more restrictions, more regulation, that kind of thing, there's still plenty of upside potential for them. And those companies that can make money under this system, if there's more regulation, that means there'll be less new startups in there. So it's easier for them to keep making money, because one of the problems the U.S. oil industry has is its own worst enemy. It'll keep competing. These different companies will keep competing against each other until, you know, they all run into the ground. So there's more regulation, fewer players. That'll actually play to their strengths. They can actually do quite well in that environment. And also, we seem to be backing off from the trade war with China. Why that's important is because China slashed its oil imports from the U.S. during that. And so if they start importing more oil from the U.S., that's going to be great for U.S. oil exporters.
So then, Sean, let's also look at another market that you and I talk about quite regularly. That is cannabis stocks. Cannabis stocks have pulled back, but those also had a very nice bounce, especially the U.S. ones, because I think a lot of people looking forward to some sort of more federal legalization in the U.S. going along the same pattern that we saw that happened to Canadian cannabis stocks when Canada went through their legalization. Still, potentially some room to run up, but again, those cannabis stocks have pulled back. Are they at a buying point now in your eyes?
Well, they could be at a buying point because technically speaking, the big ETFs and stuff that I follow are at technical support. So that's true. But there isn't as much volume as I'd like. We need volume to have conviction. Without that, it could just be a rest stop on the way lower. And here's the thing. I wrote a column that ran this past Saturday about how much the cannabis stocks are down. And from their highs in February, in less than a month, on average, they dropped about 42%. That was a huge drop, but still up 39% since the start of the year and 122% since the lows about a year ago. So still up. So if they go down more, they'll still be ahead. And the thing about at least U.S. cannabis stocks, or the better ones, I should say, is they're really starting to make money. Some are just beginning to turn profitable. Some were already profitable, and they're starting to make money hand over fist. And so those companies, I mean, they really look strong, especially as more and more markets legalize. And here I'm speaking about states around the country, so they have more places to actually go into business. We'll see what happens when federal legalization comes along. I don't expect imports over the border from Canada anytime soon, or from Jamaica, or from Colombia, or any place like that. So, one thing they are looking forward to is easing of the banking laws. Once that happens, then banks can actually start to work with them, and that'll lift a huge burden off of these cannabis companies. That is probably coming this year. Everybody seems to want it. And so if everybody in Washington can agree on something, then it really raises the odds of that happening. So I think that there's a lot more potential here. I'm not buying right now, but I might start buying soon because, yeah, the upside potential is quite good. We've had a very good year. We've had a very good year in cannabis so far, and I'm really looking forward to more of that good stuff as the year progresses.
Now, do you see any potential in some of these cannabis stocks, say in Canada, being able to also distribute in the U.S.? I've been hearing more and more about the potential of look at some of these stocks that could deal cross-border. It seems still too early for me to make those kind of bets, but where do you stand on that question?
Yeah, I don't see why they'd allow it. I mean, eventually they will, but I don't see them in any rush to do it, right? Because we want to support our own industries. And we know that up in Canada, they grow more cannabis than they can sell. They actually have warehouses stacked up to the roof with it, you know, because they have such a small population and they've grown so much weed. Eventually, at some point, I think they'll destroy it or something. But so I'm not making any bets based on cross-border stuff. I do think that within the next couple of years, we'll see U.S. legalization. Probably not this year, though. There's a lot on the legislative agenda that's probably going to go ahead of that. So I'm not actually expecting this year, but next year probably. And so that's coming down the line. In the meantime, big states are still legalizing. There's a lot more to just move along that way. So for the better companies, this is going to be a great year.
So, Sean, taking a step back, looking at these markets broadly, there clearly is still a lot of liquidity in these markets and a lot of different sectors that are having their time to shine and breaking to new highs, or at least breaking out of short-term resistance levels. Do you see any issue with the broad markets at the levels that they're at, or with the overall financial system right now in terms of just how much money is in these markets and how long they have, or how aggressively they have been running higher?
Well, let me paraphrase our friend Brian Lundin, and I'll probably get this quote wrong, so that's why I'm saying paraphrase. But he says, what Wall Street gets hooked on is not free money, but the idea of more and more free money, you know? And so there was plenty of like free money being cranked out last year, which is why the market was able to separate from the broader economy, because it really didn't matter that everyone was losing their jobs. Free money was flowing down Wall Street, and all these stocks just floated higher because of it. The big risk to the market is that we see the Fed start to crank back the free money and stuff like that, and there will be a tantrum when that happens. That said, you know, the Fed has said that they're not in a hurry to make a move this year. Now, inflation is now at 5-year highs. They might have to move sooner rather than later. Next year is probably the real risk. What will they do then? I think that's the risk, is that, you know, the punch bowl could be pulled away, or rather they won't be adding more and more to the punch bowl, you know, so that might make the markets kind of freak out, because they're losing all of that high speed chicken feed that they were really hooked on. So, don't think of the economy for the broad market. For individual stocks, like the kinds we've been speaking about, along with banks and some other ones I could name, it should be a great year simply because of the economic growth and the inflationary forces and that kind of stuff. But for the broad market, it could be kind of a flattish year if they start to think that the free money is going to be, really dialed back. And if they think that there's like some real tightening coming from the Fed, that could cause a tantrum, and that's the risk to the market.
Absolutely. That is the biggest risk. And you know what? I think everybody has gotten a little too complacent just saying that the Fed is going to just keep these easy policies and get even easier with their monetary policies. But again, no one knows what's going to happen here. But I think we do need to be aware of what the bond market is telling us and the continued strength in the U.S. equity market. So we'll see where the Fed stands, but that does actually, I think, need to be a key consideration. And everyone needs to just, well, take a level-headed look at all of the factors leading into the Fed's decision. Sean, it's great chatting with you, buddy. Always enjoy when having you on the show. I will chat with you again in another 2 weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Hey, you too. Have a great one.